Hello, everyone. It's my mum, aren't I? Yeah. Good to see everyone this morning again. Good to be with you. It's always good to come and to be with you. And learnt a bit about Joe today. His favourite animal is a yak. Mine was a boring dog. So a yak, and it's in Nepal, and it's a hairy, like a goaty cow thing, is it? Is it a cow? Interesting, all right. But we only did get two things. Right, so anyway. So it's good to be with you today. Anyway, we've had Finley, our grandson, with us last week. So if I look a bit tired and jaded, then you know why. It's full of life. So I want to just talk about this passage in Acts chapter 3. And it's an interesting passage, that, and I want to do what was shared here by Anna. I always get your name wrong or say it wrong. And which is more about being missional. And so this portion of scripture, I want to talk more about looking at it from a missional angle, really, and how we can reach out and help people in life. And I think it's an interesting story. And so that's the angle I want to come about being missional. You know, it's a journey, isn't it, that we're all on, and how we can be more missional in our as churches and as individuals. So I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the early church, and I love the early church. And I want to talk about five powers of the early church. And I want to look at five things. So I'm going to try and give 5 minutes to each one so I can finish in 30 minutes, which is a challenge because I usually do this one over 2 weeks. So I'm going to do it over just 5 minutes in each point, really. So, but I love the book of Acts, and, you know, I love how God used ordinary people, don't you? Not superstars, not celebrities, but normal, everyday people who were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that gives me hope. Yeah, and it gives us all hope, doesn't it? And the Acts of the Apostles, it's called. It could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, couldn't it? Very easily. How the Holy Spirit works through ordinary people's lives in extraordinary ways in order to impact the world for Jesus. That's what we're all about, isn't it? We want to impact lives and people's lives with this message of the gospel. And it's a reminder to me, this story of what God can do through ordinary men and women who rely on the Holy Spirit. Who knows, we need to be always relying on Holy Spirit. I do more than most, I'm sure. And it really explains to us some things. And I want to look at those five powers that we need to reclaim as the people of God, and that they had in the early church, that I want to be in my life. And as we draw upon them in our lives, it can have a massive impact. So the first one is very simple, and it's this, the power of partnership. Oh, yeah, power of partnership, there it is. Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. That's a good thing to do, to pray. And Peter and John were good friends. In fact, we were often seen together. They were often seen together in the scriptures. When God wants to use us, here's what he does. He brings us together. Isn't that fantastic that he brings people together in order to impact the lives of our communities? So when God wants to use, he brings us together. We sent out the disciples. He sent them out in twos. Peter and John, we read about in the early church. And we read about these partnerships that impacted cities, that impacted people's lives as they partnered together in the gospel. Peter and John, we have Paul and Silas, we have Barnabas and Mark, all working together to see God do amazing things. See, although God can use us individually, he chooses to use us together for his kingdom. Peter and John were partners in the fishing business. In Luke 5, verse 10, in Luke 22, verse 8, they ran to the tomb on that feast first Easter Sunday morning. Wow. In John 20, verse 3 and 4, they helped the Samaritans who believed on Jesus Christ. In Acts 8, verse 14, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were used in building the early church. I want to tell you, partnership's so powerful. When we come together as a church, it's so powerful when we are together with the same purpose and the same mind. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 9 says this, one sows and another reaps. One scatters the seed, but it's only God that brings the increase. But when we work together, we partner not just with ourselves, but we partner with God to bring about an increase in people's lives. There's like a synergy that happens when we come together. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the very midst of them. Right at the center, when we come together, Jesus is with us. Wow. That makes a church different from any club or society. It's the fact that the presence of God is here this morning. He's with us. And he's with us in our missional understanding to reach out to those around us. I love when I read the New Testament. It excites me when I hear about all those giftings, the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the apostles, all working together for the kingdom of God. Partnership is so, so powerful when we come together to work for God's kingdom. Mother Teresa said this, she said this, I can do things you cannot do. You can do things I cannot do. But together, we can do great things. How powerful is that? God brings us together. There's a power in partnership together. And you know, God, you're here not by accident. You're here because God has drawn you together to be a church in this place where you will reach out your light to others. The power of partnership, we see it all the way through the New Testament. The second power we need to rediscover in the church, I believe, is this, the power of our routines. The power of our routines. Let me explain this. Daily schedules we all do every day. Things we do day after day without even thinking about them, really. They seem more mundane or ordinary, and they seem to overlap each other. But routines are good. Who knows routines are good? Anyone have a shower this morning? I'm so glad. Especially when we worship and we have our hands in the air. It's wonderful. Anyone brush their teeth this morning? Yeah, guess what? I did it yesterday as well. Routines are really important. How about anyone put the makeup on this morning? Not just the guys. Anyone get dressed this morning? Oh, I'm so glad about that. Routines are so important. You ever put your jumper on and you put it the inside out? Put it on the wrong way around and you didn't recognize it. But you know, routines are so important and in our lives, and they give us a sense of stability in life. Very important are our routines. Acts 3 verse 1 tells us about Peter and John going to the temple at the time of prayer. Would have been around 3 in the afternoon. Peter and John were doing the same thing they did every day at the same time. This was their daily routine. In verse 2, we read about this lame beggar. And we read in verse 2, we read about a man who was disabled from birth, being carried to the temple gate. Listen to this, where he was put in the same place every day. I mean, day after day, he was taken and he would be carried to the temple to beg for money. The scripture is teaching us about our routines of every day. Every day he would sit there, begging in warm days and cold days, doing what he always did every day. But we see here his routine is about to be disrupted. The routine of every day is about to give way to the transforming, life-changing power of one day. You see, this one day was unlike the previous day. Peter and John were doing what they were supposed to do. They were being consistent in the outworking of their faith. They were going to the temple to pray. They were right where they were supposed to be in the beauty of their routine. Their everyday routine became this man's one day. His life was about to be changed forever. The story changes, the person changes, his heart changes, his future changes, all in one day. Let me ask this question. Could our one day, the routines that we do one day, could they be somebody's one day? Could our every day be somebody's one day? Just like we read about in the book of Acts. God can work through your everyday routines. The things that we find boring, the things that we do every day. I want to tell you, God wants to empower those everyday things that every one of us do in order to be somebody's one day. I don't know what you do every day, but I do know this, that if we give our everydays to God, if we give those things that we do every day to God, those routines that we do, I believe by the Holy Spirit, God can lead us to speak to someone, to impact someone, so that our everyday can be somebody's one day. We must never underestimate our routines, because your everyday could be somebody's one day. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get a mundane mentality about the things I do every day. I think, well, I did that yesterday, but you know, life can seem so monotonous at times, but when we give our daily routines to God, the Holy Spirit, He can use them to touch people's lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. We need to see the potential of our everyday to be used by God to be somebody's one day. Who would have thought that in the routine of a conversation, the Holy Spirit can use to change somebody's life? Simple conversation. We had a conversation today at the beginning of the meeting, just talking and asking and getting to know people. But in that everyday, God can use it to be a vehicle for someone's life to be touched. Jesus, what I love about Jesus when I read the New Testament is this, that there was miracles were amongst the mundane. He goes to a wedding. I mean, a celebration, and we see the miracles break out in the mundane. And I want you to know something, in the mundane, in the things we do every day, God can make something beautiful out of. Here we see in Cana, in John chapter 2, the six ordinary pots of dirty ceremonial water. And Jesus touches them. And in that mundane situation where no one knew what to do, when they went to Jesus and his mother said, listen, do whatever he tells you to do. That's good advice. Amen. Do whatever Jesus says. And when Jesus touched that situation, the ordinary became the extraordinary. The natural became the supernatural. The mundane became the miraculous. I want to tell you, God wants to work in the ordinary things of life. He wants to touch them by his power. And then our everyday, our routines of life could be someone's one day. Don't despise those mundane things in life, but how about giving them to Jesus, giving them to God? I don't know what you're going about this week. It's bank holiday tomorrow. I don't know if it may be off work, but when you go back to work or whatever you do, whatever vocation you have in life, give it to God and let God miraculously touch it in order to touch people's lives. Come on, someone say amen. The mundane, the routines, when we give them to our Heavenly Father, my goodness, he can change them to be somebody's one day. Here's Peter and John. They go to the beautiful gate. They see the lame man begging at this beautiful gate. There were 9 gates that led to the court of the Gentiles in the temple. And scholars believe that the beautiful gate was probably the eastern gate that led into the court of the women. It was made of bronze. Can you imagine how beautiful it would look in the sun, this gate? No wonder they called the gate beautiful. It was made from bronze from Corinth, and it would look so beautiful in the sun. It would gleam. It looked just like gold. And the lame man was born lame. So every day he would be carried to this gate beautiful to beg for alms, the scripture tells us. It was part of the Jewish faith to give to the poor. So they would give to this man. They would give to this man. But you know, God was about to give to him more than he expected. I'm so grateful in my life that God gave me more than I expected. I went into a church at the age of 17, 18, and I thank God that God gave me more than I expected. He revolutionized my life, changed me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to do that over and over and over and over again in our communities, with our friends and our families. God was about to give him more than he expected. The power of one day. The first thing, very quickly, is this. The power of focus. I believe this is very important. He was a man who was, going along the thoughts of Hannah this morning. He was a man who thought his real need was money, who was wrapped up in his own needs. Do you know people are wrapped up in their own needs in life? They're wrapped up with how hard life is just to get by. He didn't realize that these men were about to meet his real need. He was expecting them to give them to meet his initial need, but God wanted to go so much deeper with this man. He wanted to meet his spiritual needs. All around us, there's people who have so many needs, but their real need is the spiritual need. The real need is to meet with a Savior who can turn their lives around, who can change them in an instant, who can bring them on a journey to understanding and getting to know Father God. Here, this man was asking for a handout, but they were about to offer him a hand up. The course of his life was about to be lifted. And Peter said something interesting right at the beginning, and it was Hannah and others brought this to us this morning. The first thing that Peter said to him was this: look at us. What a strange thing to say to a man who's begging, crippled by the gate beautiful. But you see, his first step to his miracle was to change his focus. You see, God had to get his attention. And Peter had to get his attention. This man was so focused on his need to get by that Peter had to get his attention. In order to change his focus, he had to get him to look beyond his immediate need. You know, in society today, in life today, even in our streets, wherever we live, hurting people are so distracted by their pain, maybe by their negative past life experiences, or even by their future fears of what's ahead in their life. And somehow we've got to get past that to show them their real need. And Peter and John, here's what they did. They said, look at us, change your focus. There's something greater I want to talk to you about. There's something greater that I want to show you. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says this: for we do not look at those things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are just temporary, but the things that are unseen, they are eternal. The lame man couldn't see beyond his immediate need. Peter saw beyond what he could see. He saw with the eyes of faith. You know, we've got to look. If we want to be a missional people, a missional community, we've got to look with the eyes of faith. Come on, amen. That God has brought us together for a purpose to make a difference in the lives of people. He wasn't looking at what he could see. He was looking at the unseen. Peter was looking not at what was temporal, but what was eternal. Peter was looking from an internal, eternal perspective. The power of focus. Do we need to refocus this morning? Do you know, there's times in my life, all the time, I'm having to refocus. I'm having to change the way I think to see things from an eternal perspective. How about you? Bible says this, we need to walk by faith, not by sight. Do we need to refocus like this man? Does God need to get our attention? The power of focus is so powerful that we begin to see from an eternal perspective. Number four, I believe we need to reclaim this as well, the power of the name of Jesus. We sang about it this morning. Beautiful, by the way, Billy, beautiful. We sang about the name of Jesus, saying his name, shouting his name, believing in his name. Do you remember in this portion of scripture a bit later on in verse 16, he says, listen, it wasn't by anything we've got that this man is made whole. But it says, but it's by faith in the name. In the name of Jesus, that this man stands before you. Oh, there's something about the name this morning. You see, they introduced him, this beggar man was introduced to the power of the name of Jesus. He gave him a name that was greater than his problem. He says, listen, I'm skint, I don't have any money, but I do have something. I don't know if they would remember the words of Jesus saying that all authority was given to them and they would see what Jesus did when he was among people. But he said, we don't have money, but what we do have, they said, we have the name. I just want to tell you a very short story as I try and finish in a few moments. A story about a man, a young guy who came into our church in Impact Church. And we were working at the time, we worked a lot with the homeless and with the poor in Manchester. And Andy Burnham, I don't know if you know, he's the mayor of Manchester. He did a thing called the Bed for the Night, where they wanted all homeless people to have a bed for the night. And so for a couple of years, the churches partnered together as churches to offer shelter in our churches for those who were struggling, who were homeless, who didn't have anything. And we did that for a couple of years with the churches. And then the scheme had to finish because there was no more money left. But we were getting funded by the council. So we had a conversation with the council. And they said, look, we will fund you to keep you, because we opened the bottom of our church so that they could sleep at night. We'd give them a breakfast and a meal through the day. We would get services working with them to help them with their addictions and with their problems. And so they said, look, we'd like to carry on. So we carried on that scheme, and the council worked with us to do that, which was quite interesting, especially with our policies. We had to get them sorted out. But it was an incredible time where we were very missional as a church anyway. We're able to open our church building to those people. And there was a guy called Jay who turned up. Jay came one day to us at the project, and we gave him shelter, we gave him a bed, and we gave him food. And we began to have a conversation with Jay. There's a number of them, but let me just highlight Jay. Jay was so thankful for the help that he received. And we began to have a conversation about Jesus. And he began to ask really important questions about who Jesus was. And we found out that Jay and lots of the guys would start coming to our services on the Sunday morning after their breakfast downstairs. They could hear the music and they heard the worship. And they would come up. And Jay was one of those who came up to our services. And Jay, in a miraculous way, gave his life to Jesus. He was a drug addict, he was an alcoholic, he was homeless. And when he gave his life to Jesus, I want to know something. When he met with Jesus, His life totally changed. And Jay suddenly encountered Jesus. He surrendered to Christ. And we find that I had the privilege of marrying him in my church to a beautiful Christian girl. And now he runs our project every Monday morning, feeding the homeless. And we have 20 to 30 homeless people who come in, and he feeds them every single Monday with a team that he works with, that I oversee, but in one of our churches in Impact in Oldham. And he shares Jesus with them. I want to tell you, we can do so much in helping people, in providing a safe place for people, in giving people food. But church, we mustn't forget the name. So many churches are just doing good things, and we need to do good things because that's who we are and that's our DNA. That's the DNA of God within us to do good things. But we must never forget the name. Thank God that Jay heard the name. And that name is transformational. That name changes lives. That name takes people from addiction. That name takes people out of homelessness and gives them a hope for the future. It's not what we can do, but it's all about the name of Jesus. We've got to introduce people to the name that's greater than ourselves. Come on, someone say amen. His name is so powerful. Something that's greater than money. They didn't have much money, but they had the name. Greater than that man's sickness, greater than our routine, greater than our expectation even, greater than what we don't have. We have the name of Jesus. Do you know the name of Jesus isn't just a magic word that we put on the end of our prayers? No, the name of Jesus is not just a tagline in our lives when we pray. The name of Jesus means that we stand as ambassadors for God. It means that we stand as his representatives. It means that we stand in his righteousness. And we stand and operate in his authority. Wow, what a privilege. It's the name of Jesus. He says, all authority is given me. Now you go. You be missional. Be a missional community. Be missional in your work. Be missional in your lives to share the name. The power of the name. Philippians 2 says, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is higher above any other name. And it was faith through faith in his name that this man was made whole. I want to encourage everywhere I go, please don't forget the name. Please help people. Please reach out to people, but don't forget the name. Here's the fifth thing, and I'm going to close on this, is the power of lift. The fifth power we need to reclaim as the church is the power of lift. And I want you to see this morning. I want you to visualize this story, if you can. You see, what it says in verse 7 and verse 8, it says that Peter and John, when he saw this blind man, they did something. The Bible says this, that they reached down and they took him by the hand. You know, if we're going to lift people in our communities, if we're going to really lift people out of their situations and share with them the name of Jesus, here's what we've got to do. We've got to reach out and reach down and get hold of people's hands. As churches, we've got to some way get hold of people's hands, and we've got to begin to lift them. Here's what happened. As he reached down, he got hold of his hand. This beggar man, lame man. He reached down, and as he reached down and got hold of his hand, here's what happened. He began to lift him. Listen to this. As he began to lift him, the scripture says, as he reached down. You know, we've got to get messy in people's lives sometimes. There's a lot of messy lives out there, not just in the church, but outside the church. Amen? Come on, amen. And sometimes we've got to We've got to get dirty. We've got to get in the mess. I believe in messy church, by the way. I don't believe in perfect church, a popular church. I believe in messy church. I believe in churches that reach out and reach down and take hold of people's hands. And listen to what happened. He's the miracle. Just watch this right now, guys. Here is the miracle. As he began to reach down and take him by the hand, the Bible says that strength began to come into his ankles and his legs. I believe, church, that as we begin to reach out and reach down and we take people's hands out of the mess of their lives and we begin to try and lift them, I believe that's where the miracle begins. That's when the miracle takes place. And his legs are strengthened, his ankles are strengthened, and my goodness, he is lifted to a new life. And the Bible says he runs about leaping and praising God. And this miracle, I love it, it was unknowable. You couldn't question what God had done. See what happened later on when they get challenged. As I close this today, this morning, as we reach out, as we take hold of people's lives in the mess of their lives, and we reach down and we begin to lift them, that's where God does the miracles. That's where God's strength is found and his power is found. I'm going to close now the five things just as a recap. The first one, we need to recover as the church. The power of partnership, working together. I'm so blessed to be working with Kurt and Anne as a friendship and coming to speak with you guys and be in Wales again. But the power of partnership is so powerful when we partner together for the greater good, the gospel. Something that's greater than ourselves, something bigger than ourselves. I want to tell you, it's powerful. When we partner together, the power of partnership, the power of one day. I want you to, as you go through this week and through the next week, I want you to think about the power of your routines. Where has God placed you? What has God done in your life? What has God done in you that he wants to do in others? And in the power of your routine, your everyday, your mundane, I want to tell you, give it to God and see what God will do. That's a challenge. Give it to God. Say, God, Lord, I'm just doing what I do every day. But Lord, I give you this day. Holy Spirit, lead me. Direct me to someone. Open up a conversation so that I can share the good news of the gospel. And your one day could be someone's, your everyday could be someone's one day. Power of focus. We need to recapture the power of focus. Look on us not because of who we are, because of the name of Jesus. The power of the name and the power of lift. We need to reach out, reach down to people's lives and see them restored in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, everyone.